General election season is officially underway in Wisconsin ahead of the midterms this fall. Marquette University Law School is out with its first poll since last week's primaries. It shows Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes leading in the race against incumbent U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, and the governor's race between businessman Tim Michaels and Governor Tony Evers. It's a lot closer. We're talking about the big key races in Wisconsin and how Wisconsinites are feeling about a number of issues this election season. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What issue matters most to you in this year's midterm elections? Do you know already who you'll be voting for in November, as many do? If you're still up in the air, what do candidates need to do to persuade you? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Charles Franklin is a professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. He's co-founder of Pollster.com and founder of PollsandVotes.com. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into results, the usual disclaimer: these results are not a prediction, right?
Nope. They're our estimate of where things stand in August at this point. And we'll be doing three more polls between now and the election. And even the last one will still be where things stand before the election. The voters will have the final word on that on election day.
All right. All that said, the race for governor, one of the two big statewide races here in Wisconsin this year. What are we seeing in this first post-primary survey?
Quite a close race. Evers at 45, Michaels at 43. A two-point margin. The independent candidate on the ballot, Beglinger, is at 7. The margin of error here is 4.2 percentage points, so that two-point margin is clearly inside the margin of error. That is a tightening of the race from June, when Evers had a 7-point lead over Michaels. So Michaels hasn't enjoyed 5 points of tightening in that race since June. That's where the primary campaign probably helped to introduce him to voters, build his name recognition, and tighten that governor's race.
Now, you ask what people think of candidates in some different ways. What do we know about, you know, how much people have formed opinions about the incumbent, Governor Evers, versus the challenger, who, as you say, is just getting his name recognition now? How much is still up in the air with either or both of them?
Yeah, and this is a big difference between incumbents and challengers this fall. With Tony Evers, only 12% say they don't know enough or don't have an opinion of him to say whether they have a favorable or unfavorable view. But with Tim Michaels, that number is 34%. Now, with Michaels, that's down from 56% in June. So, again, over the summer, people learned about Michaels, but there's still just over a third of the electorate that haven't formed an opinion of him versus just 12% that haven't got an opinion of Evers.
Okay, that's one big statewide race. How about the race for U.S. Senate? We've got Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes challenging incumbent Republican Ron Johnson.
Here again, we see a primary bounce, but this time the bounce is for the Democrat, whereas in the governor's race, the bounce was for the Republican. Barnes is leading Johnson by 7 points, 51 to 44. That's up from just a 2-point margin, 46 to 44 in June. I think it's interesting that from June to August, the challengers got a 5-point bump in both of these races, but a 5-point bounce for the opposite parties. Yeah, and it does show that primaries can be good for a candidate, even if they're hard fought the way the governor's primary was, and, a quiet ending to the Democratic primary. In both cases, those challengers seem to have benefited.
Now, I've seen some reaction to your survey along the lines of, no, wait, how can one Democrat be doing better than another Democrat? Everybody's partisan. They already know they're going to vote for one party or another. Why is the spread wider in this race than the other? I think back to 2018 when Senator Tammy Baldwin cruised to reelection while other statewide offices, including Governor Evers, won very, very close races. There are some differences in particular races. It isn't just D's versus R's.
That's right. And it's not the case that everybody's locked in. That's an exaggeration. Democrats and Republicans are. About 90% of Democrats and Republicans say they're voting for their party's candidate in both the governor and the Senate race. The big difference is among independents, where Evers has a 4-point margin in the governor's race with independents, but Barnes has a 14-point advantage with independents. And these are exactly the same people answering both of these questions. It's not like they're two separate sets of people. And it just shows that independents have a different view of the Senate race than they do of the governor's race. And at the moment, that's helping Mandela Barnes, and it's a lot of the reason why he's up by 7.
We're looking at the new Marquette University Law School poll, first since the primary elections in Wisconsin, looking at the big races and coming up the big issues that Wisconsinites are thinking about. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to hear candidates talking about? What are you worried about in the state? Or are you happy with the way things are going? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you still swayable in any of these statewide elections? Call in or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's turn to the issues. You asked voters about a bunch of issues, Charles, that they're concerned about. Number one is inflation, but it seems like that's gone down since your previous survey.
Yeah, a concern with inflation is still the number one issue of the 9 issues that we asked about, but it has risen steadily month to month since last summer. Only this time, it's down by about 8 points from 75% in June to 67% now that are very concerned with it. That comes as a summer in which gas prices started to come down in the last month or two, and also where the consumer price index was flat, did not go up between June and July. You know, often economic changes are filtered by people's partisan lenses, you know, and that's still the case here. But I did find it interesting that over the summer of falling gas prices after a long, steady rise and inflation flattening out, that the public responded to that. Didn't mean that inflation went away as an issue by any stretch of the imagination, but it is interesting that the public responded to those macroeconomic changes.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jackie is with us in Pewaukee. Jackie, hello.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up, Jackie?
Well, I'm really glad that you're having this discussion. I've been disgusted with the commercials and especially just the mudslinging back and forth, and especially with Ron Johnson saying, oh, well, I'm going to do this and do that for Wisconsin. And it's like you've been in there for this time. What were you do? Point to what you did and give us details of how you made that happen. And I'm not seeing that. I'm just seeing blanket statements with no substance.
Jackie, thanks for the call. I can vouch for a lot of ads out there. Charles, the limited amount of streaming and YouTubing I do, I'm seeing lots of these ads. Can you talk about how the content of the ads might fit into what you're seeing people talking about on issues?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's revealing. And the differences between the parties in what they're concerned in about helps us understand some of the advertising. For Republicans, the top 4 issues are inflation, crime, taxes, and illegal immigration. But for Democrats, the top 4 are climate change, gun violence, abortion policy, and public schools. So really, the bases of the two parties are most concerned about different sets of items. Senator Johnson has been talking about illegal immigration this week, and it's notable that that's in the top 4 issues for Republicans, but it's near the bottom for Democrats, and it's relatively low for independents as well. So that's an example of talking to your party base, but maybe not talking as much about issues of most concern to independents, let alone Democrats.
Thanks for that call, Jackie. Speaking of appealing to the base, I know you try in various ways to measure, you know, which base is more excited about this election? Who's more likely to turn out in this midterm year? What are you seeing right now?
Yeah, there had been a growing gap between the parties in June, but that gap largely, evaporated, here in August. We have, in terms of are you absolutely certain you're going to vote in this year's election, 83% of registered Republicans say that, but 82% of Democrats say it. It's a bit lower, 66% among independents. Likewise, when we ask if you're excited or enthusiastic about voting, those had been fairly similar in the spring, but Republicans took an advantage in June. But this month, the Republican enthusiasm didn't change, but Democrats went up 9 points, closing the gap on that as well. I would emphasize the certainty of turning out because if you vote, it doesn't really matter whether you're enthusiastic or not. It really matters whether you get to the polls. And so the absolutely certain to vote measure is a good comparison here.
We're talking to Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, with us today to share results from the latest survey just out yesterday, first post-primary survey in this midterm election season. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is top of mind for you as you consider candidates? Inflation, abortion, gun violence, crime, you name it. What issues are important to you? What questions do you have about these poll results? How polling works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking about results from the latest Marquette poll with the poll's director, Charles Franklin, and you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts headed into the midterm elections this year, the candidates, the issues on your mind. 800-642-1234 is the number. Rich joins us in Two Rivers. Rich, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me on the air. The thing that is kind of puzzling to me is Johnson's ads are really deceptive and good. And I just don't know why the Democrats don't bring up how he handed Pence right before he got on, before the false electorate. I mean, they don't even bring that up. I mean, why don't they bring that up? I mean, that was deceit.
Rich, thanks for the call. Yeah, the list of the statement from the false electors from Wisconsin ended up in Ron Johnson's office possession. Still some questions about the chain of provenance there. But Charles, the sort of things that people might, the Democrats in this case, might target Ron Johnson on, including the 2020 election. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different topics that I think maybe they test differently in the research that the campaigns do. There's a lot of baked-in opinion about any incumbent, but certainly Senator Johnson. The ads that I've noticed have talked more about economic values, whether he supports the middle class or not, that Barnes does support the middle class. Those are, in a sense, more old-fashioned ads talking about concerns for a broader swath of voters. On things like the election, January 6th, and COVID, for example, there are strong opinions for and against Senator Johnson on those, but I think they may be baked in. I don't run campaigns. I'm not about to give advice to a campaign about how to advertise. But I think that is a consideration that campaigns have, is what issues might move marginal independent voters versus what issues are just reaffirming what your base voters already think. And there's a debate in campaigns about how much you want to persuade any independents to your side. And that might be one set of issues versus how much do you want to rally your side? And that might be a different set.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Charles, wanted to talk to you about the impact of Roe v. Wade. The timing suggests, hey, maybe that's what helped account for that Democratic enthusiasm gap in the elections. We saw this vote in Kansas specifically on the issue. They rejected a constitutional change there that would have allowed banning abortion in that state. How have you tried to measure the impact of the abortion issue here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, we've done it several ways. Let me go through them. Democrats are more concerned about abortion. They rank it much higher, I think third highest, whereas Republicans rank it second or third from the bottom. So there's a big difference there, and that may have helped Democratic enthusiasm. When we ask about the court's abortion decision, first of all, almost everybody's heard about it, and that's the same for Republicans and Democrats. But in terms of whether you favor the court striking down Roe, only 30% favor that, 60% are opposed. We've been asking for 10 years now, should abortion be legal in all or most cases, or should it be illegal in all or most? And this month, 65% say legal in all or most, 30% say illegal in all or most. And that is a little bit of a change from June, when it was 35% saying illegal in all or most. So a 5-point decline there and a 7-point increase in the legal in all or most. So there has been a little bit of shift that had been very stable for the last 10 years. I don't want to make too much out of a 5-point shift, but coming when it does, I think it's important. Finally, I think, and this is certainly relevant to legislation, we asked, do you think Wisconsin should or should not allow a woman to obtain a legal abortion if she became pregnant as a result of rape or incest? 88% say we should allow abortion in that case. 8% should not. And that includes 79% of Republicans, 87% of independents, and 97% of Democrats. So this is a live policy debate that will be faced by the legislature next January.
Talking to Charles Franklin from the Marquette Law School Survey, director of it. New poll just came out yesterday. Let's bring in another caller. Mike is with us in Madison. Mike, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So with both candidates, not only Johnson, but also Michaels, they both tout their long-term work history. Well, we all have worked from high school on practically, and so I don't really find much value in that. They both started up or helped to move along their companies, but what I'd like to know more about is how equitable is the pay difference between the median of their employees and the highest paid. Is that 100-to-1? Is it 10-to-1?
I gotcha, Mike. Charles, we don't have the answers to those questions in front of us now, but it gets to the issue of how do candidates tell stories about themselves and about each other?
And those stories are especially important this fall. For Tim Michaels, we asked the favorable, unfavorable question. And he's 33 favorable, 33 unfavorable, but 34 don't have an opinion about him. For Barnes, it's 37 favorable, 22 unfavorable, but 41% don't have an opinion about him. The two incumbents are much better known than that. So the challengers of both parties have the task here in the heat of the fall campaign to introduce themselves to between a third and 40% of voters for the first time. And of course, their opponents are also trying to introduce them. So very much the fall campaign for both of these challengers will be how to try to establish a positive image of themselves, even as they are criticizing their opponents.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Rhoda joins us now in Milwaukee. Rhoda, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank goodness for Governor Evers and his ability to veto, because without that, wouldn't we already have permitless concealed carry in Wisconsin, which the vast majority of people do not want? If Tim Michaels is elected as governor, he's going to rubber stamp every right-wing crazy thing that the GOP legislature wants to pass.
Rhoda, thanks for the call. Charles, it's maybe a subtle point to make to a campaign ad, but this has been a key case Democrats have made to their own base anyway, that Republicans, given the way district lines are drawn, will almost certainly keep control of the legislature. The role of that governor, he's compared himself to a goalie at some points.
I think that's exactly right. With virtually no chance of the legislature changing, The real question is, do you want divided government like we've had for the last 4 years, or do you want to go back to one-party government that we had for 8 years under Governor Walker? There are many Republicans that certainly want to have unified Republican control, but there are many Democrats that now see the virtues of divided government. And I think that's a key argument for the Evers administration to make, just as it's a key argument for Republicans to argue that, you know, put us in complete control and we can get things done. We'll see which of those arguments persuades voters and carries the day.
Thanks for that call. Charles, I want to take our last minute or so on an issue that struck me in the survey. You asked about marijuana legalization and found 51%, if I read this right, support for legalization among Republicans.
Yes, this is a change that's been taking place over the last decade. We had more opposition than support for legalization 8 or 10 years ago, but it's been growing. And in the last year, Republicans for the first time have tipped over to a majority favoring legalization. It's 51-39 among Republicans now, 69-23 among the public at large. So a big public majority, but Republicans had been more opposed than in favor. But in the last year or so, that has tipped to now just a slight majority of Republicans, but of course, much bigger majorities, 75 among independents and 81 among Democrats.
Charles, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We've been hearing from Charles Franklin. He's a professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of Marquette University's Law School Poll. He's with us today to talk about the latest results, what it could tell us about this fall's midterm elections. Follow the WPR news team and their coverage of the candidates and the issues in this fall's races. You can do that all at WPR.org.